be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to all of our members, friends, family, visitors. Welcome to you all. It is good to be here together, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. And we would also like to warmly invite everybody after the service to our library Sunday, where we'll have bingo and raffles and fellowship and fun and food. So please join us. Be invited to join us after the service for that. But let us now turn to our bulletin and begin worshiping together with the words of this. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Word who spoke life into being, the wind stirring the waters.
Amen.
Let us turn in confession to the one who knows us completely. Mighty God, lover of justice,
you call us to life in community, but we have served our own interests at the expense of our neighbors. We have sown deceit where honesty was needed. We say the right words, but our hearts are far from you. Turn us to seek your face, knit us together, and give us the mind of Christ, that we may do
former things have passed away, and new things God now declares, like a spring of water that never fails. God covers you in the righteousness of Christ and forgives your sin. In Jesus' name, may the Spirit give you strength to live for others and bless you with the gift of peace.
Amen.
Amen. May be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you.
By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's sermon. And we're aware that they are on vacation right now. So welcome, my children. Well, our text today, Jesus says, "You are the light. You are the salt of the world." So I brought some salt. What is salt good for?
Everything.
Salt is good for everything.
French fries.
French fries. Get on a French fry. Good taste. Good. Mm-hmm.
Popcorn.
Get on popcorn. Best in coffee.
Not so much.
Not so much.
A little bit
in coffee. See? Now we have a good. You know what it was really used for in the ancient world, though? Preservation. So Jesus is saying, we are those who preserve life. But then there's a warning, right? What happens when salt loses its flavor? Right? So what do you do with salt that is no longer salty, friends? Throw it out, right? You throw out the salt, and then it no longer exists anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And so then in order to re-salt it, what do we have to do? Put it in the oven, get that fire going, and then we re-salt it, and the salt just comes right back out, right? So friends, we are salt. And when we lose our saltiness, we come to the table, and yet resalted with the grace and love of God. So let us pray. On the count of three, we're bringing our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Christ.
Thank you for Christ.
Amen.
Our first reading this fifth Sunday after Epiphany is written in Isaiah chapter 58. Hear now the word. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bondage of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see naked, do you cover them? And do you not hide yourself from your own kin? Then your life shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water never fails. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning may be found on page 6 of your bulletin. I will read the light print if you would respond with the bold. Psalm 112. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken, the righteousness of your everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire from all their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and cry away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
And our second reading is from the first letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet, among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age, or of rulers, or of the rulers of this age, who are being destroyed. But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and for which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolish to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sometimes I talk about my hobby of cooking. You enjoy it sometimes. And one season I went through a spell where I was going to attempt to master the art of German cookery. And if you're going to do that, at some point, you have to encounter or come to grips with sourdough. Now, friends, this is actually a real simple thing to do. You just need two ingredients. Salt and cabbage. And you cut the cabbage really thinly, put the layer of salt down, get some elbow grease out, crush, crush, crush. Next layer, salt, cabbage, crush, crush, crush. And as the enzymes break down and the water level grows, and then the cabbage is covered in water, and then you wait it, put it in a dark corner for half a year, and then you have sauerkraut. This becomes a superfood, we're told. It's never going to go bad because it's already gone bad, right? In the modern world, salt is this thing that we use for taste. And we taste too much salt in our modern culture. But let us remember, in the ancient world, salt preserved food. Matter of fact, without salt, there would be nothing called civilization, right? You wouldn't be able to survive in cities. You wouldn't be able to survive outside being hunter-gatherers without salt. In the age of sails, when scurvy was the problem, you couldn't keep fresh food in a ship for 6 months. Having a big old crate, couple crates of sauerkraut was the solution. So when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, this is what is entailed in that commandment. The interesting thing about salt, though, is salt by itself is rather not tasty. If you challenge me on that, I invite you to a spoonful of salt after the service. I occasionally get a mouthful of salt water while surfing. I'll be breathing very hard as I attempt to paddle out, and then before long, not full of seawater. It's not pleasant. But without it, no light. Light is the same dynamic. Have you ever turned on a flashlight just to stare at the bulb? Well, try it sometime if you doubt me. An interesting thing happens if you stare at a flashlight. You will actually lose your sight. Stare at the sun, same thing. Light and salt share this holy quality. They don't exist for themselves. Do not turn on a light to stare at the light. You turn on the light so that you can see everything else. Light illumines the path. If we are called to be light and salt, and notice Jesus doesn't invite us to be called salt and light. He just simply tells you that you are salt and light. It is not so that you can be impressive. It is not for us to bring attention to ourselves. We are salt and light in that we bring life to the world. We illumine the path. And of course, this often goes countercultural to all those purity cultures, and every religious community has a purity culture. The laws that you have to keep, the rules you have to keep. And the problem with purity cultures is always that it says, look at me, I'm morally virtuous. And if we bring the attention to ourselves, we're not fulfilling what Jesus is calling us to be. But here's the good news. Friends, we don't have to earn our saltiness or our illumination. You simply are salt and light by virtue of your existence. And we come to this table to understand what salt and light come and encounter God at this table of bread and wine. And bread and wine, friends, doesn't serve itself. It's there to feed and to nourish you with the presence of God's presence, so that you, me, all of us, can go back out in this world, bring life, to feed, and to illumine the path together. Amen.
As God's beloved children, united in Christ, let us pray for the church, the whole human community, and the well-being of Earth, our home. Your church does ministry in many and various ways. Keep the baptized true to the mind of Christ, that our works and witness bring hope to a troubled world. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your marvelous creation cries out to you. Restore polluted air, soil, and water sources to wholeness. Guard honeybees, elephants, great whales and songbirds from harm, and renew the face of the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your people in every nation suffer injustice, poverty, and threat of violence. Guide those in authority who govern with compassion and bring peace to war zones. We pray for our enemies. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your blessings are poured out for all in need. Help and heal any who experience trauma, discrimination, disease, hunger, abuse, or persecution. Comfort those who are sick or grieving, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Paul, Jerianne, family of George Diepenbrock, Jill, Brittany, Fran. We pray for immigrants and refugees that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. Pray for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters, both in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your wisdom guides this congregation and its ministries. Sustain our ordained leaders, staff, lay leaders, and volunteers. Form us to be salt and light for the neighbors we serve, following the example of Christ. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Your saints rejoice at your heavenly banquet. We give thanks for their lives of faith, trusting that we also will be embraced by your eternal love. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Confident that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Jesus Christ our Savior.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you. I
invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. And I invite everyone to come back and to please rise for our offering hymn. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirits of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are invited forward. And all means all, which means all that you call. In a few moments, the usher will come, and we will start on this side, and we ask that you fill our communion rail from right to left, and you may either receive communion standing or kneeling, whatever is most comfortable to you. Only come with your hand extended, and the bread will be given to you. And then reach in when the wine comes around and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come forward and only receive a blessing, you do that by folding your arms. But know all who come will be served. Amen. And I almost made a liturgical error. Thank you. Gathered together in one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Radiant God, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of his body and blood, you have drawn us to your heart. Send us from this table the light that our lives may reflect the beauty of your love and bear witness to what we have seen and heard through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let me pause just briefly for some announcements and a few highlights. Again, we invite you after the service to come out, grab some food, have a seat, and join for the festivities of Library Sunday. Pay attention to your calendars, because Ash Wednesday will be on the 18th, so it is nearly upon us. And pay attention to the words of the week and all the events that are coming up. I will be out of the office next week, and I invite Emily forward for an update.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So I've got a confession to make. I've been living a double life. I'm actually part of another church up in Portland as well, the Ecclesia Gnostica. And for those of you who want to mention that maybe the Gnostics are heretics, I'd remind you that so are the Lutherans. And I was previously in the clergy program up there, and I'm going to be returning to the clergy program at the Ecclesia Gnostica. So what does this mean? I'm not leaving Newport, and I'm not leaving the Atonement community, first of all. But there's a growing community of Gnostics in the Newport area. I've been leading a service on Wednesday nights for prayer. And so it's really a lot of the interest is serving this community, but also supporting the independent Catholic movement. We're an independent Catholic church. Please ask me more about any of these things later. But I'm still going to be here very, very frequently during the week. You're not getting rid of me, as much as you may want to. The Apple Tree Project is still continuing. It's just now an interfaith Apple Tree Project. I'm bringing this church on board with it. The Gardening Club, again, is the best gardening club in the world. The Interfaith Gardening Club, it's still going on. All of these projects are still happening. So you're still going to see me a lot during the week. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be here as much on Sundays as I go through the training program, which is about 3 to 4 years. So I'm going to be here as frequently as I can. I love this community. My church up in Portland is very excited about my involvement with my church down here in Newport. So I just consider myself now a member of both communities. And my phone number is still in the directory. Please call me. Please set up lunch dates. All of these things. And then the second announcement, the grafting workshop. The grafting workshop, we talked about this a lot. You guys may not have heard a lot about it recently. That's because the lady who was going to be leading it broke her foot. So it is still going to happen. It's still going to happen in March. It was always going to happen in March. The sign-up was going to be in January. And as I'm going to go up there this month and work with her to get some training and some refreshing. I've done some grafting before, so she's going to give me a brief refresher course. And then in March, it will take place. I will be leading it. The Lord help us all. And so just, you know, stay tuned for more announcements about that. And maybe somebody else giving the announcement on Sunday for when it happens, but it is still happening. The Apple Tree Project is still happening. The Gardening Club is still happening. Just, you may not see me as much on Sundays, unfortunately, and it does break my heart quite a bit. But I will be here a lot during the week and as on Sunday as often as I can. So, and that is all.
Thank you.
You know, we're trying to name this project the Earth and Heaven Project because it was bringing two things together. I preach on that all the time. Really exciting thing that I think, I'm safe to say, this would be the first project in church history where the Lutherans and Gnostics work together.
So, amen.
Brings two things together into one beautiful project. We look forward to that. Blessings on your journey. Let us turn now to the benediction. May the triune God, who has put a new song in your mouth and turned your heart for praise, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.